News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your grassroots radio station, your community radio station, your non-corporation radio station. Good morning. Carl in the bot, 605-4567. Sometimes I get carried away on Tuesdays. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. Good morning to Counter Intel Pro, just joined. You must know that Bruce Ross is going to be on today. Of course, Bad Bob's here. Bad Bob, who is homeless.
Well, technically.
Semi-homeless. You are living in a travel trailer.
We are in a travel trailer. Thank you very much to our friends who gave us the use of that.
And we're going to talk about the latest on the bomb, or no, I shouldn't say, it's not a bomb, it's explosives, a situation, an explosive situation, all right? But let's start off, as we always do, with our Wells Fargo advisors and Susan Eastman. Did anybody know that Susan Eastman could really, really dance? Good morning.
A great slow dancer, right, Carl? Anyway, we had a really good time over that there at Anselmo Vineyards.
It was a great evening. It was good seeing you all there.
It was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to the market. The stocks are mixed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 42 points at 16,111. The S&P 500 is up 2 points at 1841. And the NASDAQ composite is positive a point at 4245. The three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, Rite Aid, positive 23 cents at $6.15. Bank of America off 7 cents at $16.63. General Electric up 12 cents at $25.86. For local stocks of interest, PepsiCo down a penny at $78.08. Pacific Gas and Electric down 5 cents at $43.92. AT&T off 20 cents at $32.95. Treasuries are higher along the curve. The 10-year note is yielding 2.73%. And for commodities, gold is up $2.40 an ounce at $13.21. Silver positive 25 cents at $21.68. And crude oil up a dollar, trading at $101 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors, for KCNR.
Thank you, Susan. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 706, 806, and 906 here in the morning. You know, you need to find out what's going on with the market. They follow it all the time. It's a volatile market any way you look at it. Everything's up and down. But they follow it. They're your neighbors. You can look at them when you're making a deal or finding out the information, finding out where to put your money, how the investments are going. You want to see them. So stop by either Park Marina Drive or give them a call or set up an appointment. 243-7561. 243-7561. Okay, let's have, what's the weather look like today?
Well, we got clouds, but not a lot of rain. 30% chance after 4 o'clock. 63 degrees will be the high today. And the overnight low will be about 41 and maybe 10th of an inch of rain out of this system. Nothing else for the rest of the week. 42 degrees in Redding. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. And you can find them at 365-3793. Senior and Veterans Discounts, Shasta Gas Propane.
All right. Thanks, Paul. For people who just heard that, the news this morning and that Just Bob wasn't here, it was Just Bob had a slight accident and was going to be off for a few days while he's recovering on this. So, Bad Bob or Boom Boom is here as if you didn't have enough to do, right?
I was just sitting around my house. But wait a minute. I wasn't sitting around my house.
Bored. No, your house was around you, in fact. Okay. Hey, what's the latest? I know you went down and saw the sheriff yesterday. You're coming back in the house, but tell us, what you're getting out of this. Now, in case you're just tuning in and you've been gone for a little bit, you don't know this, but Bob Belongi, our engineer here, was the house that was the closest to Mr. East's house when the first explosion went off and a flash fire.
I fully expect my fingernails to grow back any time from chewing them down to the elbow, watching the fire from a distance. We were a fair distance away.
Now, this is the, we're talking about the original fire now.
No, well,
this is what I'm talking about. The original explosion.
Original boom.
You were there. And so,
I was
and then,
50
and
feet, then, yes.
And then, of course, they moved you all out when they found out there's 60 pounds of explosives in there. And then you've been out of your home for now how long?
12 days.
12 days. And then, of course, Sunday, they burnt the house.
Yeah. And that was a bit of a nerve-wracking because it was determined that it was too dangerous to have any mitigation measures in place whatsoever. No heat barrier, no gel wrap, none of that. And I'm going to tell you that the people who say that this was all rushing to move, I got to tell you that the CAL FIRE guys were just, they were very distressed that they were not allowed, that they couldn't do their job, that the bomb tech said it was too dangerous for the fire guys to do their job and protect the environment and protect our homes.
Well, the fact is though, you've been defending the sheriff, I shouldn't say defending, you've been saying, hey look, we're affected by this more than anybody. But we value what the sheriff's doing. We value what people are doing here because you believe it's the right thing.
I think that erring on the side of caution is the right move. I would rather, even if the odds were 10,000 to 1 that nothing would happen, that 1% chance could cost someone their life. And I don't want that on my conscience over stuff.
Yeah. You know what? You're a good man, Bob Belongi. We're going to have you over for dinner tonight, you know, Brenda. Tapas Downtown, of well-known eatery, is closing. Christine Silver. It's closing March 2nd. She's, she says that, she's enjoyed her stay there and that she's going on to her next stage in life and she's going to Humboldt County and opening businesses there. Her son, of course, has got Maxwell's right down here and which is an outstanding place. Great food, has wings. If you like wings, there's no better place in town to get them than right there at Maxwell's. We're going to take a quick break. Our guest roster today is kind of interesting. We have Bruce Ross with us from the Record Searchlight. And good morning, Bruce. Are we on? Is he turned on here?
Am I turned on?
You are turned on. You're always
it always turns
on.
Me on to be here with you, Carl.
Okay. His last interview, I think, public interview like this on being before he leaves the his role as editorial writer for the Record Searchlight and takes a new job. And then at 8 o'clock, we have Brian Daly, who is our regularly scheduled time for our assemblyman to give us a call. It's kind of interesting here, kind of a coincidence we have.
I have a question for the assemblyman. Why'd the governor decide that we're not important enough to send a few bucks to pay for this mess?
I thought they did. I thought they
got. No, we were turned down.
Oh. Well, see, that's a good question because that kind of falls into.
I want to know why we're so far off the
because
landscape.
Bruce will be hearing these questions here in another couple of weeks. Hey, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You can walk in there to Espresso Joe's, get any type of coffee, cafe, machado, any of these things that you can possibly want at really great prices. Walk next door to the best walk-in humidor in the state. They will meet or beat any tobacco prices in town. Tobacco and Brew. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back after these messages.
Home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Often people say, once it's wrecked, it's never the same. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Is this true? Well, it depends on who repairs your vehicle. Some examples of our repairs that made vehicles better than new are a brand new 4x4 truck that pulled hard to the side. The dealer could do nothing because the frame did not match factory blueprints. a new sports car with steering pull. The dealer changed the alignment, then the tires, and then the tires and wheels. Nothing helped because the unibody was manufactured out of spec. A new pickup that sagged on one side. The dealer changed the springs, but that didn't change anything because the frame had a twist. A new luxury sedan with a 2-foot crack in the paint on the hood because the paint was too brittle. As you can see, we made these vehicles better than new. Imagine what our collision repair specialists can do for your car. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Change your world in as few as 16 months. Simpson University's popular Aspire degree completion program was designed for busy working adults. Choose degree programs as diverse as organizational leadership, psychology, liberal studies, business and HR management, or the RN to BSN step-up program, all relevant in today's competitive job market. Student success fuels our program success. With a 96% graduation rate over the past 20 years, our Aspire degree completion program is a challenging yet rewarding adult learning experience. Custom tailor your degree success plan with our dedicated academic counselors who will personally guide you on your educational journey. Call today and speak with our admissions professionals. But don't delay. This spring's application deadline is approaching and classes will be filled soon. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON today to speak with an admissions professional or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/aspire. Simpson University School of Continuing Studies. Challenge your mind. Ignite your heart. Change your world.
For the best roundup of the local high school and college sports scenes, plus in-depth discussion, tune into the NorCal Sports Show with Nate Abarea at 6 p.m. Tuesdays on KCNR 1460. Nate takes you right to the heart of NorCal action with interviews, analysis, and roundtable talks. Call in or tune in. You'll want to join Nate on Tuesday nights if sports are in your blood and the local scene is on your radar. The NorCal Sports Show, Tuesdays, 6 p.m., Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Let's drop the bomb.
That'd be the Gap band. You drop
the
bomb.
Is everything about you, Bob? Come on. Welcome back. Hey, it's February the 18th, 40 degrees outside, 7:17 in the morning, and we're in our new format where we're having less breaks, more talk. We still have our live read, so this portion of the show is brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Does what no other windshield business can do. They offer full guarantees from chips to cracks over 24 inches in length. Jeff Wurst can fix them. He fixed a 12-inch crack in my windshield five, six years ago, and you can't even see it. Still, you can't even see it. It looks great and have had no problems since then. Give them a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street in Redding. Redding, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. My guest, Bruce Ross, editorial writer, head of the editorial page.
I am the editorial page. I'm also the assistant and the trash emptier.
Do you make sure that the lights are turned down around? Do you walk around turning on lights at the end of the day, Bruce?
We have these automatic ones. They turn off by themselves.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
good.
Sometimes when the room is very still.
Another way that Scripps is outsourcing, huh?
just trying to be green and save power and cut those city bills.
I wish y'all could have seen his face on that one. Okay. A lot of people, Bruce, you know, how long that you've been with the Record Searchlight in here. And I have never had one yet that had the right answer. They're all really short. A couple of them have said 10 years, but it's been a lot longer, hadn't it?
I started the Record Searchlight in 1997. So it's been, almost 17 years.
17.
Yeah, it would have been this summer. And, left once for about 6 months.
Where'd you go?
Back to New Mexico, where I grew up in New Mexico. I went to.
Well, let's talk about that. What part of New Mexico are you from?
Well, I grew up in a little town called Farmington, which is up in the Four Corners area.
Up in around the Navajo Reservation.
Both my parents worked on the res.
Okay.
That's how we ended up moving there. My mom got a job in beautiful Shiprock.
I know Shiprock
very
well.
Anyway, then I went to college in Albuquerque.
University of New Mexico?
University, UNM.
So you decided, how long was it that you decided you want to be a journalist? I mean, were you at a certain age or did you kind of fall into this or is this something you really wanted to do?
You know, it was in college when, you know, there was a college paper. It was a daily, came out 5 days a week. So, and I just thought it would be interesting to try, and I wandered in, and the way a college paper works is pretty amazing. For a first timer, I wandered in. I said, "Hey, I'd like to write for you guys." And they gave me a story, and I went and talked to people, and they published it the next day on the front page. I was just astonished, and I was hooked immediately, just because, you know, the thing I always liked was I'm actually a shy person instinctually, but you can just call people up and talk to them, and they'll tell you all the interesting things that they know, and it's for anybody who's kind of curious about the world, it's just the most fascinating line of work. So
it is, you know, immediately, and it is just, you know, when people come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They just, I mean,
you know how it is.
We are, I think of myself as fortunate because we've had well over 1,000 guests here mm-hmm. on the show in the last, you know, 5 years. And every time somebody comes in with a, you know, I mean, facts that I have no idea what they're, I had no knowledge or very little knowledge before they came in. I had a guy talking about nuclear, plants because mm-hmm. he works in them. And the talks, and he said, you know, he talked about the number of safety as in backups and redundant systems that nobody else would ever have to have. I mean, they've got three backup systems for every system. And he talks about, you know, what nuclear energy really can do for people. And when's the last time we really, I mean, he just laid it out from somebody that works in them. I mean, he's not somebody that's a lobbyist. He's just somebody that works on. Mm-hmm. So when you talk to people like that, when you're just a regular reporter, you get a lot of information out. Is it hard for a reporter not to put their feelings into it or put their own spin on it?
For news reporters?
Yeah.
No. I think they, it takes practice. You know, but that's part of the professionalism of the job of, you know, doing a full story.
But then when you get to the editorial page, when you started, okay, how did you get to Reading though? I mean, okay, you're in New Mexico and you got, how'd you end up here?
When I was in college, my parents moved to California. They were living in Paradise for about 20 years. They recently moved to the coast. But, anyway, so I moved out here to mooch off mom and dad while I was looking for a job. And, you know, New Mexico just doesn't have many newspapers. Not many people in New Mexico in general. And, the ones that, I was working for one part-time, and they said, well, we might someday have a full-time opening, but not now. And anyway, so I moved out to California just for the opportunity, and Tom King, who was 1-2-3 editors back now, he knew one of my references because they used to work together, and he offered me a job, and it was pretty much as simple as that.
Okay.
And the next thing you know, it's 17 years later.
17 years later.
Anyway, it's been, you know, I mean, once I moved to Reading, I had... haven't really wanted to go anywhere else because it's
You like it here, don't you?
I do.
We've got people calling in. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, I came across one of your blogs recently where you talked about the potential for homeowner associations to sabotage the drought management plan by way of fining homeowners who voluntarily try to conserve water. And
not if Senator Jim Nielsen has his way.
Yeah, he does. Right, because what is that? Senate Bill 992, or I hope I got the number right.
I'll trust you on it.
But yeah, I was hoping if you could elaborate on that point of homeowners associations behaving badly and potentially sabotaging any drought management efforts.
Well, that was just a bill that Senator Jim Nielsen introduced just last week that he had heard reports. And, you know, you hear about this thing every time there's a drought that somebody decides to save water and they cut back on their lawn watering and their landscaping starts to look a little faded and their private homeowners association comes and dings them. I mean, those fines can really add up. And an HOA can actually seize your house.
Yeah, they can. You know, when did it ever say a homeowners association could take your house that you paid for? How did we ever get to that?
Well, when you signed the contract.
You know what? I have been in homeowners associations. I swear, they march down the street together in tall leather boots. Charles, thanks a lot.
Anyway, Jim Nielsen's bill would bar them from finding them.
All right. Thanks a lot, Charles. Hey, we've got something here from Onion Grower who says that he said thank you for your article on crime on your blog. Was it yesterday? I remember reading it, but about the, you know, the fact that people are talking about how bad crime is and it's all the, police fault.
It's all the police's fault?
Well, it's not the policeman's fault.
I hear different claims of who's at fault. You're welcome. Thank you.
When you take over, and you've been there for 17 years, when did you take over as the editorial page?
Just about 10 and a half years ago, when Kelly Brewer came in as editor, and she was the editor before Silas. It was just a coincidence that the guy who'd been doing my job before that also fell in love with a woman up in Washington and was moving to pursue true love. And so there was a vacancy there, and there was a new editor, and I asked for the job, and she let me try out, and eventually she said yes. So.
And there you go.
Yeah. It was.
How much has it changed, 17 years? How's the newspaper business changed?
The newspaper business? Oh, in fantastic ways. When I started, the internet existed. Like, the World Wide Web was there, but it was still a pretty newfangled thing. There were, like, a few websites that you might be able to find. And, of course, now it's all, certainly people weren't checking the news on their phones. So it's been amazing technological leaps and really fantastic stuff. I mean, you can get, live comments. That sort of interactive thing is much faster and you can publish things. I mean, particularly when there's something urgent like a fire or a bomb scare or a explosive filled house in your road. You can publish that immediately. I mean, it's a public safety thing. You can do video and you can get original documents that you can just post on the website so that people can read them for themselves if they want to know. You can link to material. It's amazing what technology can do with media these days that, I wasn't in college all that long ago, but,
it wasn't possible. It's been a pretty long time.
The flip side of that, of course, is that, people's attention is much more pulled in 100 different ways. And, the local newspaper used to have a much
monopoly,
not a monopoly, but certainly used to be there weren't that many more options. I mean, when I moved to Reading, there were a couple of newspapers. You could get the Bee and the Chronicle and maybe the Wall Street Journal. And I remember in maybe 1998 or 99, you could get the LA Times. They decided to expand it. You could buy the LA Times in print here. And it was like kind of an exciting thing for a news. I mean, I like the news. So, I was very interested in like, wow, it's a new newspaper that you could physically get and read. And it was like, wow, there's, new stuff. And then after a year, they, wasn't working out for them on a financial matter. So they pulled it back. But, now who cares if the paper is actually physically delivered? It's just, it's irrelevant. So the opportunities for readers are fantastic. Of course, all that translates into being, it's a tough business environment. It's more competition for people's attention. But.
Well, when you're saying that, and I disagree on one part, is for some of us, and I don't know, maybe it's for older people that, over the age of 40, or 50,
over 40 doesn't make you older. That's over 50.
Is, having the, getting the paper and having the paper and reading the paper. It's still, it's enjoyable. And I can still read, the Searchlight online. But it's very, at that point, it becomes very sterile. Yeah. It's very sterile. I can go because a lot of years from AP. So I can just go over, I can get that anywhere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give that feeling. And nobody ever can get that. Same thing with the Kindle. You're reading books on a Kindle. Here's 1,000 books I can, 10,000 books I can have. And I read it, it's still sterile. But that's for me. Kids growing up, they don't think about that. This is all they've got. This is all they've had. They have the option, but this is something, they read them on their phones.
And I still very much like the experience of reading a paper in print. It is different somehow, I think, in the way it focuses attention. You're not constantly, there's a ping from your email and I got a Facebook alert. There's online reading can be very distracting.
Okay, well, our guest is Bruce Ross. We're getting we're talking about he's leaving the area.
I'm not leaving the area.
He's leaving the Record Searchlight, I should say. He has resigned, retired. It's resigning. You walk in.
And you tell
Silas, say, Silas, pound sand.
No, I've got a new job.
He's decided to pursue another career option.
That's what it is. He's quit the Record Searchlight, and he's gone a new career position. We'll talk a bit about that, but when we get back. But the thing is, this new job and the old job you had. The question I want to ask when we get back is: do you see them at times being in odds with each other? We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and DeBott, KCNR, 1460. Phone lines here, 530-605-4567 if you have a question for Bruce. And I see a number of you have got them on chat room here. And we'll get to these right if we get back from these messages.
The Reading Breakfast Lions Club's 32nd Gun, Antique, and Collectible Show at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All proceeds go to local youth and charitable programs. There will be over 150 vendors with approximately 300 tables displaying guns, antiques, and collectibles, along with unique historical and educational displays. This year, the special historical exhibit is Kilroy, World War II Living History, displays of German and Allied materials. The NorCal Veterans Historical Association will also be present with their helicopter and Vietnam and Gulf War era memorabilia. You'll be able to buy, sell, trade, or just browse at 200 years of historical items. The show opens at 9 a.m. both Saturday and Sunday. Admission is $6 for adults. Children under 12 for free. Don't miss it. The Reading Breakfast Lions Club's 32nd Gun, Antique, and Collectible Show.
At the Reading Civic Auditorium, February 22nd and 23rd.
At the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange, we've heard the criticism that you can't eat gold, as if eating dollar bills was very nutritious. And we answered that from the start by offering emergency buckets. We offer our standard 200-serving food bucket and the new 72-hour family cooking kits, which in addition to food also contains a stove, fuel for the stove, cups, utensils, and a 100-gallon capacity water filter. You can come into our stores, or you can go to www.thepreparedpatriot.com and with free shipping order them online for yourself or to send to loved ones anywhere in the continental U.S. Peace of mind is protecting your wealth with gold and silver and getting a fair price when you sell. Peace of mind is also having access to emergency food and supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Whether you visit us at our brick-and-mortar stores in Chico, Redding, Corning, and our appointment-only store in Palo Cedro, or whether you visit us at www.thepreparedpatriot.com, you can get peace of mind today for less.
Join me, Dan Fagan, for your afternoon drive home.
I've been listening since you started. I like listening to you, and I just wanted you to know that. And there are a lot of us listening. I think it's a very good thing that you're positive. I want to hear positive in the world today because you hear too much negative.
Why automatically assume the worst will happen? What does it cost you to believe the best? There's no cost there.
Weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. on KCNR.
Reading Christian School. Located just minutes east of Reading, they offer preschool through 12th grade students a Christ-centered education in academics, athletics, and fine arts, challenging students to develop a lifelong love of learning, to grow in their faith, and to respond to God's call of service. We invite you to consider Reading Christian School, where the curriculum is biblically integrated and the teachers are Christ-like role models. You can learn more at readingchristian.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Do you heal me? Do you care? Do you heal me?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and DeBott, it is 7:33 in the morning, 40 degrees out there today. Looks like it's going to be a good day. This portion of the show brought to you by Reading Crown Motors. You know, they are people down at 555 Cypress Avenue. They're making great deals on cars, trucks, SUVs, whether they're new or previously owned. They are your local Dodge, Ram, Ford, Lincoln, Honda, and Nissan dealership. You don't need to leave the town to get a great deal on a vehicle. Reading Crown Motors, 555 Cypress Avenue, and their service department is outstanding. Our guest today is Bruce Ross, editorial page, and writes all the editorials for the Record Searchlight for another week.
For another 4 days.
Another 4 days, and then he's leaving his job to go, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. People are talking about how the paper has changed from, paper's changed anyway in the last 17 years, but going into online and then putting the you have to be a subscriber to be able to read the news mm-hmm. online. How's that working?
I have nothing to do with the business side of the paper, but my understanding is they are actually doing better than they'd expected, and kind of, you know, well overshot their goals. Of course, then the company sets new goals. Hey, do better. Good job. Do better. But, it's working out,
what do you,
fairly
how
well.
Do you feel about this? How do you feel about making people subscribe to be able to see the news?
Well, there's an interesting dynamic there. First of all, if we have a model, anything that's sort of really public safety related, if there's a fire, a house full of explosives, high-speed chase through town, that's all free because we want people to be informed about that kind of stuff. And then as a selfish matter, as a writer, and I think this is probably the case of all writers, we want people to read our stuff, and we hate the idea that anybody would possibly be, that we'd be missing a reader who might otherwise see it. The flip side, though, is that, news gathering costs money, and relying on, the basic idea is that if you're relying only on advertising on a free website, you're not in the long run going to be able to sustain the news gathering staff that makes it worth having something to read. So the Scripps, which has done it, that model for all of its newspapers, there's a dozen of them, said, hey, we want to have this relationship with our customers. We want to give them the value, and those are our subscribers, and we think it's worth something. It's a challenge in some ways. The internet, is great for you see a story, you want to forward it to a friend, right? Send them a link, but they can't read it because they're not a subscriber. So, it poses some challenges as to how to
make it work.
Share our own stories and how to make it work. But we think it's important. And I think in the long run, to have that relationship with our subscribers, just as we have in print since the beginning. And, I don't know that it's the last final answer of how to, find a good model for news on the internet. There's probably something else that somebody really smart will think of in 6 months, but, I think it's certainly a strategy worth pursuing.
Somebody said, is it true the Record Searchlight is for sale?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, everything's for sale.
For the right price.
Everything's for sale.
I will tell you that it's a publicly traded company, EW Scripps, but it is still controlled by the members of the original Scripps family. I mean, the descendants of EW himself. I think there is, great, great grandchildren at this point, thereabouts. But they still very much control the company, and they're still very much interested in being in the news business. So it's a big-ish company, but it's still a family kind of tradition that they take seriously.
You've written some scathing editorials about politicians.
A few. I write nice ones about them too.
Okay, tell me the one you wrote, the nice one you wrote about Patrick Jones.
The nice one I wrote about.
Well, you
Patrick
said you
Jones.
Wrote nice ones about them too. Or you didn't mean all of them, just.
I've written nice, yeah, Patrick Jones. Pat did actually one of my all-time favorite things. He was mayor going back a few years. And it's one of these small things, but that makes a huge difference. He moved the date that they released the city agendas from Friday afternoon to Thursday afternoon, which is just 24 hours earlier, but it gives the public and the media.
And that's why.
And for that matter, the city councilors, much more time to be able to review what's going on before the meetings. I think it's fantastic. And, Pat's a real, he's a skeptic of government in general. I think it's fair to say he's a conservative that way. But because of that, he, and the newspaper shared the,
Hey, Bob, I'm sorry. I just
hold on, please.
We're going to get to Kathleen in just a second here. I'm sorry. Please finish that up.
I was just going to say we both, I think, believe strongly in the importance. We have disagreements about other stuff, but believe strongly in the importance of transparency in government and that the government should be open to the public. That's one thing. But I think he did something great, and we praised him highly. We endorsed him two elections.
Once.
Twice.
Okay. I tell you what, let's go to our caller, Kathleen. Thank you so much for waiting, Kathleen. I was sitting here as, I don't know where I was. I was floating around a room someplace. Good morning.
Good
Good morning, my dear. How are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
I am so sorry to interrupt. I was enjoying the conversation, quite frankly.
No, don't worry. We've got another 20 minutes here. We're going to, because I'm getting into the good stuff now.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you and Linda for everything you do for the community, because I think you guys are absolutely just fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Even
Amen.
Though you're friends of ours, I still think you're fantastic, okay? But I briefly called in this morning just to let everyone know about an event that we're doing. It's called Festa Italiana, and it's going to be held on March 8th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. And pretty much all it is just a big party. And we do dinner and dancing to the Lou White Band. We have a comedian coming in, Michael Mancini. He's the world's funniest cop. And it's just a really enjoyable evening. It's $35 a person. You must be 21 or over to attend. And that's it.
Well, it is a great time. We've been there several times, and the comedians are always good, and it's clean. I mean, they don't rely on profanity and things like that to make people laugh. The food is always outstanding and gets served the mayor has served several times. He'll probably be there again.
Yes,
the dancing, of course, is outstanding, and it is just a great time. For $35, you get more than what you pay for.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And how do they get tickets now?
Just give me a call, and my phone number is 359-2078.
Okay, Kathleen.
Thank you so much. Now back to the good stuff there.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Now, we talked about Patrick Jones. The battle with Anselmo.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that the Record Searchlight has been scrupulously fair with this whole thing? With Anselmo in the county?
Are you talking about the news coverage or
yes, the news?
Here's
the thing. I draw a difference in the editorials because that's your opinion. And just like this show, I have people on and I have my opinion. I'm not the news. I have the news from 6 to 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. My news guys know. I don't want to hear anything in there that says, oh, this. I want to hear the news. Do you think everything was scrupulously fair? With the stories you did on Anselmo, with the in the county and the election, yeah, because front page above the fold that time was Anselmo buys election.
That headline is not one that ever ran,
but it was something close like that. Silas said, well, you know, it's a bad headline.
I don't remember.
And then the pictures of Jones, Clifford, and whoever else that he had given money to, but not to all the people he had given money to.
Well, and I remember there was that specifically when it comes to not like missing, there was at least one or two people who were missed. Brian Daly was actually one of them. Remember, we definitely heard about it from Rick Bassetti, who was running against him at the time. And that's just a mistake. That was certainly just wrong. I would say that in general.
You know what? That was good for you to say that.
No, it was wrong. We want to get, you know, the full story. Gathering all the facts can be, difficult sometimes. And people make mistakes. But, you know, I don't remember the specific play. I mean, I'd have to look at the page to see what you're talking about, as a reminder. I do remember in general that we reported that, yeah, here's a guy who's, entangled in a high-stakes lawsuit with Shasta County, who is far and away the largest supporter of several candidates for county supervisor. I think that's a very, certainly a very newsworthy story.
That's true, but I didn't see the same story. And this, you know, this, and first of all, this is not Bruce's foray.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with it.
You have nothing to do with this. I'm just talking about, because this is what we're getting ready to move into, is your next job. But they also didn't do that. That I did not see that front page news. Unions give Francie Sullivan $15,000. I didn't see that on the front page.
It was a different election. I'd have to go back and
it was city
look
council.
At
but see, and she has a serious impact.
There was no doubt whatsoever.
It wasn't just Francie. I'm just using Francie. It was Kim. I mean, remember the three of them that were running?
Yeah, I remember it well. Yeah. It was certainly that was what the whole election was about, and we certainly. It was certainly well known in all over the newspaper that yes, the unions were supporting this slate of candidates and not the others. And I mean, if you're talking about, you know, fairness, I don't have anything to do with the news.
I know you don't. I know.
And
you
so
don't.
I don't, I can talk about it, but I'm talking about somebody else's, work. So I don't really, you know, well, I will say that as far as that goes, you know, we supported the other – we did support France. I mean, as the editorial page, we did endorse Francie, but also Patrick Jones and Rick Bassetti in that election. So, I mean, we were being unfair to the
– In the city council.
Yeah. So those were candidates we supported who were being beaten up by the union. So if we were skewing the news in favor of our own views, I think, you know, apparently we'd miss a chance to do it.
Okay, I got people lined up with questions. Now, for anybody that doesn't know this, is that where Bruce is leaving in 4 days, he's going to go become the district director for Assemblyman Brian Daly, a Republican that represents all of us up here. And until that day, till that was announced, I didn't know. You've kept your political leanings well hidden, and I applaud you for that.
You could have gone down to the county clerk's office and looked it up.
I'm not a reporter. I rely on what people tell me. And I never asked you. I never asked you. Because I felt like, really, does that make a difference? But now I was just, and other people come up to me since then and said, oh no, he was, you know, he's Republican. At least he's name.
One commenter on our website, when he heard that, said I was going to drag Brian Daly deeper into tea-stained insanity. And I thought, well, there you go. That's Bruce Ross.
Well, okay, let's start lining. People lined up here with questions. Let's go to line two with Red. Good morning, Red. You have a question for Bruce.
Yes, sir. I do. I'm actually less concerned with Bruce's past with the paper and more concerned with what his future is going to look like in the Assemblyman's office. And I'm kind of curious what adjustments he thinks he's going to have to make from going from a job where he is allowed to give his opinion with not a whole lot of accountability to where he's actually going to be accountable to the opinion of others.
Okay, that's a good question.
My new opinion starting the first week of March is that Brian Daly's right.
And that's
but, you know, I'll tell you that my job with him doesn't have to do with my opinions about anything. I'm going to be doing constituent work and trying to solve problems for people, trying to answer questions about, lots of people have lots of different problems with the state, and helping him, move forward, his agenda, which is, I'll let him describe what it is, but, he's primarily about trying to help the North State be a more prosperous place and ease some state regulations. So, I'll be working for him.
You don't see your opinion influencing the Assemblyman's office at all, really?
Because in
your editorials, a lot of that you do in editorials, as you said yourself, is an expression of your opinion, are often diametrically opposed to some of the things that Daly says he supports. And I was just curious about that conflict.
Like what?
Well, some of the things that Daly supports, and you've been unsupportive of some of the conservative ideals up here in the North State, where Brian Daly supports himself as a fairly staunch conservative,
mm-hmm.
and many of your editorials have been leaning in the other direction, that conflict.
Well, I'd be curious about the specifics of which conservative ideals. He's a conservative. I am a registered Republican. I've been for a long time. I'm supporting what he wants to do. So, that'll be my job. And, honestly, I've been giving my own opinion for a long time and the papers and the world's filled with opinions.
Hey, Red, I just realized I've gone past my break here, but that's good, because I want to come back with this next question it's a follow-up on you, and plus we have another person on the line. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460.
Ted Lighty here with NorCal Firearms Instruction at Sportsman's Warehouse. The fact that female victims are more likely to be injured in an assault is undisputed. Call NorCal Firearms Instruction today to learn about our ladies-only personal protection class. This popular course is designed to teach the skills, attitude, and knowledge needed to protect yourself with a firearm. Our classes fill early, so contact us today at 999-1822 or read our reviews and register for
a... Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and DeBott. Good morning. It is 7:50. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. What can I say about that except totally professional, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service. Alliance Heating and Air, we've used them before, and I can truthfully say that they have just provided outstanding service. to us, and also to Bob Longy and his and his home, and many others that we know. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Our guest is Bruce Ross, and Bruce, we've got people on here. One of the questions are is let's just bring Ruth on right now. Ruth, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Ruth.
What's your question?
I just wanted to wish Bruce well. And I know that, you know, no matter what side of the fence you're on or if you were controversial, these were your opinions and you own them and you've never gone away from that. And I just wanted to say to you, good luck, and I wish you well. And I think you're intelligent, articulate, and I enjoy talking to you, and I thought you were honest, and, you know, you didn't hedge from questions, and I just think you're going to be a great fit for Brian. So good luck to you, and, you know, moving on is always a good thing, and maybe we'll see you at the White House someday, huh?
I don't know about the White House. I'm trying not to leave Reading, but thank you, Ruth. Appreciate the kind words.
Questions coming in. The state of Jefferson, you've said that it's something that will never work. But you did say, and I've said this before on the show, that where you said people are wasting their time, they're spinning their wheels, or words to that effect. But the reason that they're doing it has to be addressed. Lack of representation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the state of Jefferson is a movement to allow or to get representation, take, you know, have a say in their government.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is something, are you, how do you feel about that? Are you against this?
You know, I understand. I've told people a few times that, you know, I have a California driver's license, but I still feel like California is a place I go visit, when I get on I-5 and drive south. You know, I've lived here, I'm not a native, but I've lived here for a long time, and I understand, where people are coming from as far as feeling, somewhat alienated, and like we're being, you know, the government is definitely has a different caste and doesn't necessarily, not people from here. And I totally get that. At the same time, I think that the complications, I mean, what we've written a lot about the state of Jefferson I don't think we've been that critical, hostile so much as just trying to say, look, these are some of the facts that, of the world, and it will be extraordinarily difficult. You know, you have to convince, you think we're, you know, if you say, we think you guys are doing a bad job making decisions about the state, but okay, well, they're the majority. So we have to convince the majority that it's a good idea. It's not that you have to convince people up here. You have to convince the rest of California, and then you have to convince, you know, the United States Congress, and they can barely pass 1 year's budget. Are they going to agree to divide up California? I think as a practical matter, as far as the politics of it, and then as far as have you ever gotten divorced, Carl?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Well, you know, was it?
In fact, I'm not sure I trust people that haven't been. Except, okay, not you, Sonny.
Except
I trust
me.
You. Yeah.
But, you know, it was complicated and expensive and painful, right? Probably. I'm just speculating. It often is with divorces. He's nodding. Well, okay, this is like, okay, but you're talking about
shrugging.
You're talking about a divorce involving 38 million people. And even if you think at the end of the day you'd be better off because we just can't live together, I mean, the details of that split and trying to divide up Caltrans and the university system and the prison system and everything is so, there's so many hurdles.
That's true.
You know, and that's why there have been, I mean, throughout American history, you'll see there's an endless series of movements to divide states. You know, North Colorado and Western Maryland. And I mean, there's whole books written about them. Because, you know, people often feel that way, and it's often, people in rural areas don't like what the people in the cities are deciding. I mean, that's a classic, but none of them have succeeded since the Civil War. The last one was when West Virginia broke off from Virginia because West Virginia wanted to stay with the Union, what is now West Virginia, that part of Virginia, and the rest of, you know, the slaveholding part of Virginia did secede. Well, that's kind of the tension that it takes. It takes the Civil War to actually make the split of a state seem like a practical way forward. And that's just what I think, you know, California.
So what you're saying is that it's so hard that to do this would be impossible.
I think it's I think it is. I think it is effectively in our lifetime. Well, okay. It's as good as impossible. And the thing let me say one thing. I think this is important. I think that the people who are pushing the movement, they are great folks. They are motivated. They love this region. They love the place they're from. They want to make it a better place. And I do think that their energy would probably be could be more productively used toward that goal. And you know, so.
Well, I think they are. Now, see, the point is, though, is, and one of our callers had a real good answer, because Silas said something essentially like this, is, if we didn't do it because it is so hard, then we'd still be speaking with a British accent. We'd still not have a man on the moon. You know, Bill Gates would be working in a radio shack someplace. You know, the idea that's because something is too hard is not American. And it, let me finish now. Americans do things that are hard. We have the skills and the tenacity and we have taken on extremely huge, impossible projects. Look at this, you know, dams and everything we've done. And we have succeeded. So to say something is, oh, we can't do it because it's too hard is not a good answer. But the bottom line on this is representation. When they changed the law and took away our rights up here and made it into a mob rule of a one rule, one person, one vote thing.
I don't think America's going to go back from one person, one vote. I think that's,
but we're in a republic, yeah. We're in a republic now. I mean, that's, if last time I looked, it's electoral college. And it's not, it's, the electoral college is the one that does the voting. Right? It's not a,
for the president.
That's right. But see, when you do this, when you've taken away the rights of so many people, you've taken the rights away of, we have one assemblyman and one senator for all of Northern California. The city of Los Angeles or the county of Los Angeles has 47.
And 10 million people live in this county, in Los Angeles County. So
that's right. But does that mean they can, okay, well, if that's the case, then we should be able to take the rights away of other minorities.
I understand it would be pretty cool if we had one state senator per county, you know, from the perspective of a resident of this area, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. But, I have a hard time saying why it makes any kind of rational sense. I mean, why is that fair to the people of Los Angeles?
Well, why does Los Angeles have more rights than I do?
Los Angeles doesn't.
Why does a person in Los Angeles have more rights than I do?
That's exactly where you're wrong, because there are 10 million people in Los Angeles. They have exactly, it's very close to 500,000 people per, assembly district and very roughly 1 million people per Senate district. You have exactly the same representation, here as you do in Los Angeles. They feel, it's not like they feel so represented. They think, oh my God, there's this enormous urban bureaucracy that I have to navigate to do anything. So, you know, California is very big and people tend not to know their state legislators. When I lived in New Mexico, you know, it has a legislature roughly the same size, but a much smaller population. So you would actually run into your, you know, state senator at the supermarket and you kind of felt like you knew them better. I think that's the size of California, and I think that, you know, so in that respect, making it smaller would I understand the appeal of it. I definitely do.
We've only got 2 minutes. So if Mark, if you can be on for like 45 seconds, because we've got a break here in just like a minute and a half. So Mark, good morning.
Can do it.
Okay, you can do it.
My question for Bruce is, if we have the same representation as Los Angeles after the Warren Court started legislating voting districts, why didn't Warren legislate voting districts for the United States with the Connecticut Compromise? In other words, each state has two senators, the most populous state in the Union has two, and the least populous state in the Union has two. So why is it effective representation for the northern third of California to have four representatives and the city of Los Angeles alone to have 35, and 98% of the representation in California is below a line from San Francisco to Sacramento? We suggest that Reynolds versus Sims needs to go, and that is the reason for the state of Jefferson. I'll take my answer on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. You got the last minute here.
Quick answer. I mean, the United States Senate is, as Mark knows well, it's written into the Constitution, so you can't say the Constitution is unconstitutional. But I mean, certainly there's a conflict between that ruling that said one person, one vote, and, you know, the existence of the United States Senate. It is what it is. What was the other question?
Well, I think he says is that why is it right that below a certain, you know, line here in the state that you have no representation. Brian Daly, whom we admire as a person, as a legislator, doesn't even get a bill out of committee.
And he has gotten bills out of committee.
Very few. And you know that. And the only reason he has is?
Cause
a Democrat wanted it.
Well, he's also a Republican. He's in the minority. I mean, there are representatives on the coast who are Democrats. They're in the majority. It's easier for them to pass bills. That's the way.
Bruce Ross has been our guest. You know, Bruce, thank you so much for coming in here. You're a great guy. Good luck on your new job.
Thanks.
I mean, I think that it's going to be, we'll have you back on in a few months here and have you come back on and talk about it. Hey, right after the break, we're going to have, Assemblyman Brian Daly. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A winter storm that's already left a lot of snow in the Midwest is now moving through the Mid-Atlantic to the Northeast. FlightAware's Mark Duell says Chicago's airports have seen the most weather delays.
They've had over 16,000 flight cancellations this winter starting December 21st. New York was second with about 15,000, followed by Washington, D.C. that was third. But Atlanta and Dallas each had almost as many as the Washington, D.C. area.
About 3,000 flights were delayed yesterday, about 1,200 canceled nationwide. American teenager Michaela Schifrin placed fifth in her Olympic debut in the giant slalom and says despite wet, heavy snow at the top and the rain at the bottom, conditions for her runs weren't too bad.
It was a pretty spectacular day, actually. I mean, it's not sunny, but on the other hand, who gets to race their first Olympics in rain this bad when there's still snow on the ground, right?
In women's giant slalom, Julia Mancuso of the U.S. missed a gate on her first run. It was her last event of this Games, but she's not ruling out trying again in 4 years. She did capture a bronze in the Super Combined. U.S. homebuilders' confidence in the housing market has declined sharply as the severe weather battered much of the nation and kept would-be buyers at bay.
Storms and cold weather put a damper on builders' outlook for sales ahead of the spring home selling season. The combination could further slow the pace of home construction. The National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Builder Sentiment Index fell to 46. That's down from January's 56 and is the lowest since last May. Readings below 50 indicate more builders view sales conditions as poor rather than good.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. The stock market got off to a mixed start as traders returned from the long holiday weekend. Shares in Coca-Cola slumped after the company turned in disappointing quarterly results. And this is SRN News.
From 20th Century Fox comes the greatest story ever told.
What is his name?
Jesus.
As you've never seen it before.
We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
On February 28th, experience the motion picture event of the year.
Arrest this false prophet tonight.
What if he is who they say he is?
Are you the Son of God?
I am.
Son of God. February 28th. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Witness the story in large format theaters.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The GOP has launched a probe into three failing state-run health care exchanges. We get more from SR News Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines.
The three exchanges in Oregon, Maryland, and Massachusetts have been spectacular failures that have left taxpayers footing the bill. Just how bad? According to critics, Oregon has received $304 million in federal grants, but has yet to sign up a single enrollee online. Maryland's had so many problems, lawmakers there have considered abandoning the state-run program and signing on to the federal healthcare.gov exchange instead.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. A man accused of killing his in-laws with a package bomb that exploded in their rural Tennessee home has pleaded not guilty. Charges against Richard Parker include two counts of felony first-degree murder. Authorities say the package bomb exploded in his in-law's home in Lebanon. This is SRN News. Edward Snowden's revelations about NSA surveillance has helped to unite some political opposites, Tea Party conservatives and liberals, as Greg Clugston reports.
An Associated Press GFK poll shows that when compared with moderate Republicans or Democrats, Tea Party supporters and liberals are significantly more likely to oppose sweeping collection of people's telephone and internet data. By 2-to-1 margin, these two groups say the government should put protecting citizens' rights and freedoms ahead of protecting them from terrorists. And the NSA debate brings liberals closer to the Tea Party view of President Obama. About half of liberals disapprove of the way he's handled the issue. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
Five people sent to hospitals following severe turbulence on a United Airlines flight from Denver to Billings yesterday afternoon. An airline official says the injured were three crew members and two passengers. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Wendebont. Good morning. February the 18th. It is 6 after 8. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Linda's on assignment this morning getting a bunch of things done. Let's go to our friends at Wells Fargo for our market minute. Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, stocks continue to search for direction. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 17 points at 16,137. The S&P 500 is up a point at 1840, and the NASDAQ Composite has advanced 24 points at 4,268. Active stocks this morning, Abbott Labs up 27 cents at $39.08. Procter & Gamble down $1.53 at $77.87. Dow Chemical positive 13 cents at $46.84. For local stocks of interest, Target positive 43 cents at $56.49. Trico Bank shares down 15 cents at $24.56. Bank of Commerce up a penny at $6.09. For commodities, gold is up $3.60 an ounce at $13.22.20. Silver positive 35 cents at $21.78. And crude oil up a dollar, trading at $101 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Susan, thanks a lot. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on with our Market Minute every day at this time, 7:06, 8:06, and 9:06 in the morning, to give us an update of what's happening back there. You want to talk to people that know what's going on, that you can look at across the desk, who's going to give you the best advice, who they want you to do well. That's our Wells Fargo Advisors. Stop on by their offices at Park Marina Drive or give them a call at 243-7561. Bob, what's the weather?
42 degrees. We'll think about raining today, tenth of an inch maybe. 43 tonight, and high tomorrow, 61. No more rain for the rest of the week. And this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. Senior and veterans discounts, 365-3793.
All right, thanks a lot, Bob. Hey, you know what? Ensemble Vineyards is having their winemaker's dinner on March 7th. That's where the winemaker Chandra and John Stadelli, the chef out there, match not only great wines, their newest wines, their award-winning wines, with just outstanding five-star food. So that you have a great evening that night. That night, you learn a lot about the wines, and you just have a great meal. All of this out in Ensemble Vineyards, March 7th. Give them a call at 474-5546. Good morning to our guest, Assemblyman Brian Daly. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
Doing great. You know, your new district director was just on here for the last 30 or 40 minutes and talked about how he was looking forward to coming on there. And I think what he said was, when somebody said, well, what's your ideas about this? And he says, it's whatever Brian's ideas are on this.
Well, excuse me, we're excited about having Bruce come on board. You know, it's kind of interesting. Some of the reaction has been, you know, the liberals think he's, or the Republicans think he's a Democrat, and Democrats think he's a Republican, but I assure you he's a Republican. And we're excited about having, you know, a little different perspective in the district director's office.
Well, Brian, Bruce is a very bright individual, and if the and he, as he said here on the show, is that he wants to do what he wants to accomplish is to help the people in the district get what they, you know, the things that they need, and get it up to you, and make sure that it, you know, they give the very best shot when he gets into the state. So that's a good answer.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about it.
There's so much going on in Sacramento. We've got a bunch of people with questions in here that, you know, on the chat room, but I want to talk a bit on your perspective of what's happening this year. What do you think has happened?
Well, obviously it's an election year, so I don't see any big policy stuff coming down the pipe. You know, we've all been talking about a water bond. In my mind, I still think we're a long ways from getting there. There's six or seven different options as far as the water bonds, not only including the one that's on the ballot. But so I think that's a tough road to get there on that one. I do think we'll see some movement maybe on pensions with the PERS people having to put into their retirement. That's actually a story in the B article today. And I think that for the most part, I'm going to be focused on just getting stuff to, jobs rolling back in the district, trying to get some of this regulation out of the way so we can – you know, business people will be able to take a risk, and that's what I've been focused on all along. I'm on my way to Sacramento right now, parked alongside the road here at the 505 exit here at Dunnigan, and you know, I got a meeting on some bills. I'm carrying a few bills. I'm going to do some reduction, try to run a bill on helping with the timber tax with the BOE, and I'm going to do also some legislation on forestry again, and then continue to last week we actually had 10 legislators out in our district. We went to the Oroville Dam and we talked about the watersheds above the dam, and you know, the fire threat, and the lack of jobs, and what we should really do by managing good forests. So continuing to educate. I will be down in, I did send a letter out to all the members of the Assembly and Senate asking them to come to my district and when the time was right, and that, and I in return would go to their district if they had something that I could, you know, get educated on in their district. So I will be in Compton actually this Friday with Reggie Jones Sawyer, Assembly member, and we're going to tour his district and look at the things that he has for his district. So building those relationships and continuing to try to do good things for the North State.
Okay. We've got, you know, just imagine we've got a lot of questions coming in here. There was one that we'll go back and find here that says that they're the Bell Garden Senator that wants to put 3 million, I'm trying to find it right here, wants to put 3 million undocumented, or I should say illegals, on Medicaid. Now, are you familiar with that bill?
I'm not. I have not seen that. It hasn't came through my committee, obviously, if it
right.
was. We're just getting started on our committee hearings. Actually, I have one today, Environmental Toxics, ESTM it's called. So I'll have that today. We're just getting started to hear the bill. So I'm not familiar with that bill. You know, obviously there's a ton of bills that get authored that never get out of committees. And so I don't see those until they come to the floor. And quite frankly, you can't monitor all the bills that are out there just when they get introduced. And so, and a lot of members use those bills. That are long shot bills. I think that would be a tough bill to get through, and just from what I hear from what you're talking about. But
if
they use those as opportunities to talk about what they're trying to do in their district and use them for re-election, even though they know they're not going to get out of committee.
So you would oppose that one then?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Just from what I understand of it, yeah.
Yeah, I know you haven't seen it, but I'd seen something like that in the paper that said that they wanted to put 3 million illegals on Medicaid.
I'd like to take
Medi-Cal.
Care of the people that are legally here on Medicaid.
There you go. I like that. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. Assemblyman Brian Daly is our guest. We're talking about what's happening, it's the beginning of the year. Yeah. Things are starting to move through, with our assembly. I want to ask too about the, because I need to talk about this every time you come on, is about fighting the fight when we're, you know, when you're really outnumbered, how you're going to achieve things this year. We'll be right back after these messages. Again, Assembly Brian Daly is our guest.
And they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free baking mixes made with ancient grains. At Amazing Foods, we're here to help you make living gluten-free easy and healthy. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, and delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes, while at the same time adding protein and omegas to your diet. Amazing Foods for Life is produced in a dedicated top 8 allergen-free environment. Check us out at AmazingFoodsForLife.com or at Orchard Nutrition Center, Tops Market, and many more.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas. Join me on the first and third Saturday for the Positively Healthy Show from 10 to 11 a.m. The Positively Healthy Show focuses on health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. We keep you up to date on the current events locally and globally. Tune in to find out how you can be positively healthy. That's the first and third Saturday of the month from 10 to 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. and streaming KCNR1460.com for the Positively Healthy Show with me, Dr. Maria Salas.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR1460. Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:17 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and the chat pack is ripping through there today. 43 degrees out. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Orchard Nutrition. I can say they are the North State's nutrition experts with the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. In-store deli, 4 nutritionists on the staff to assist you. Classes on health, diet, raw and organic foods are available, are just some of the reasons to shop Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Give them a call at 244-9141. Orchard Nutrition, your center for a healthy lifestyle. They absolutely are. Our guest is Assemblyman Brian Daly. And Brian, when we left, I asked, when you start talking about numbers, where, you know, the North State and Republicans are really outnumbered, totally outnumbered by the number of Democrats from the south of Sacramento. How do you deal with that?
So I what I've been trying to do, obviously I mentioned earlier about building relationships, but at the end of the day, we're going to be focusing on trying to pick up a few seats, a few more seats to get us out of the super minority. And, but there's a lot of moderate Dems that, so for me, it's about leverage. Try to find some of those moderate Dems that for their districts, it's a tough vote for them on some of these tax issues and those type of things. And if we can peel off some of those, we can stop some of those two-thirds votes. But on a simple majority vote, where you only need 41 in the Assembly and 21 in the Senate, they seem to always get there on most of those simple majority votes. So for me, it's a long-term plan, and I'm trying to build those relationships and find those spots where we can leverage ourselves to actually stop bad bills and do the same on promoting good bills. And that's where I think we can be successful until we finally get the numbers going in our direction as far as conservatives in California.
Well, one of the things is that, you know, with the numbers, but, you know, we talk about representation that, you know, what we believe here in, you know, north of Sacramento, you know, doesn't seem, it matters to you, of course, and Jim
absolutely.
Nielsen absolutely matters. And we know you're in there fighting, but when it's 43-1 just in, you know, and you represent all of the North State, and you've got,
right.
And you've got 43 assemblymen, you know, with down in the county of Los Angeles or around in those areas. It's coming, you know, we have more and more of this is coming up. I know you're aware of it. It seems to be that the state of Jefferson is gaining more and more traction up here in the North. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I did the press release that said early on last year that I would run for governor if we were successful with the state of Jefferson. And actually, I wish now I wouldn't have done that. Not because I don't support it. It's just because I think the focus should be more on why the people are upset. And I think that's one thing that has came out of the movement for the state of Jefferson is that, you know, the one size doesn't fit all for California. And we've been saying that for a long time as Northern California representatives that, you know, we need to be represented and that our issues aren't the same as they are in Southern California or the Bay Area or even in Central Valley area. So I think, it's going to be a tough haul to get there. You know, that would be two more senators in the Senate, which would be conservative. And I would assume that the Senate and federal Senate I'm talking about would not, be inclined to give us two more Republican senators. But, I think that, you know, the rhetoric and the talk that we do get out there has been, somewhat positive in the fact that, you know, people are realizing that the one size doesn't fit all isn't working.
Are your fellow assemblymen, are they looking at this when you say that, you know, that, you know, that we're not a bunch of crazy people up here? It's the fact is that anything that you try, you know, that they, when they have a whim in LA, then it has a severe impact on us. I mean,
yeah.
That seems to could be, I mean, if they even listen to you, I mean, listen to what we're saying up here. I mean, that would be a start.
Yeah, there's not a lot of chatter about it in the Capitol, I could tell you that. It's more so in the North States than I think in the Capitol. Yeah, at first, when Siskiyou County was the first county that actually took the action, there was quite a bit of talk, but it's, you know, politics and the story of the day is usually not lived very long in this game, and so I don't hear much about it lately, so.
The high speed train. It just looks like it's on the fast track to have that. The one judge shut it down, but they want it reviewed. What's going on with this high speed rail?
I hope that, well, it's continuing to move forward only because it's being pushed by, the governor is very, very much wants to see it, but it's causing a lot of trouble even for Democrats. It's a very poor plan. It's been being stopped by the judges and the courts, and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, which is reduce the carbon footprint, and it really doesn't. And it's a waste of our taxpayers' money. That money should be taken and put into infrastructure for water, as far as I'm concerned. And there is a ballot initiative that's being circulated around for the November ballot. Hopefully it'll get enough signatures to put on the ballot that we can stop it. That's really our only hope.
I would hope, you know, because we had a chance to stop it once, and for some reason we didn't. And if I remember right, so maybe this time around, I think now that the population, that the people of California have swung against this high speed rail, I hope we get a chance to say something about it.
I think if you pull it right now, everywhere in California it loses. I don't think that the press has been so much against it, and you know, only a few small group of people that really believe that we all should be you know, on mass transit and are in favor of it. And I just don't see that it would win. If we could get it back on the ballot, I think we would be successful.
Well, that'd be
and
great.
Quite frankly, it's a loser for the taxpayer all the way around, no matter how you slice it up. And like I said, we have huge infrastructure needs for water storage that we should be funding right now today. And no matter what we do in the water world, if we pass the bond today, it isn't going to change the drought. We need rain right now because we should have built infrastructure, you know, 15 years ago. But we haven't. We keep doing conservation, and we've done about as much conservation. I'm not saying that there's not more to do, but we need to put wet water. And that's when I say that yield, and that means we have to have surface storage, groundwater storage, and basically storage in the Sierras where because we have too much trees taking up the moisture.
Okay.
That means cut some of the trees out.
All right. Okay, and I agree, because the trees take so much moisture that we've got to get back into logging again, as we know, as anybody that knows anything about the environment, that we need to do this, especially with this problem we're having with water, because how much water it takes. We've got questions coming in about the dams. You're saying more water storage. You know, we have the dams that there people are talking about taking down. Wouldn't that hurt wouldn't that have a severe impact on water storage?
Yes, obviously the dams up in Siskiyou have been, they've been talking about taking those dams down for some time, and I've been opposed to that. So, but that's part of the environmental. And those dams, I'm not positive, but I don't believe they produce any irrigation water. I know they do make hydro,
uh-huh.
And I could be wrong on that. I'm not sure if all of them do, but I know that some of them just generate electricity.
That could be,
but. What's that?
No, I said that could be. But when we start, you're right about water storage, that we need to have the water storage, because even with the years, everybody says, oh, if it rains, well, I just let the water out. But yes, but then we still need it. You know, do we need to make, Shasta Dam higher for more water storage?
Yeah, that's an opportunity. There's also Sites Reservoir that's an opportunity. There's Temperance Flat, down here in the valley that, or on the other side of Sacramento that would be a great opportunity. There's many opportunities out there, but we just have to get the political will and the funding to go do it. And, you know, like I said, you can only put so many low flow toilets in. And once you have them all in, that's as far as you can go on. I mean, I'm not saying that we can't conserve water, but we've done a lot, and agriculture has been a lead on it. They put drip systems in, and we've seen a lot of conservation, but the last real projects that we built in California was in the 60s when the population was about 18 million people, and we have 38 million people now. We don't have any more infrastructure. So we need to build some infrastructure if we're going to continue to let California grow, or we're going to be in this situation for a long time.
Okay. Hey, we have a caller that wants to talk to you about chemtrails and cloud seeding. Ron, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Do you have a question for Assemblyman Brian Daly?
Excuse me. Yes, I do.
Okay, he's on. We're listening.
Okay. Yes, good morning. My question is, are the Republicans or Democrats, your colleagues down there, are they concerned about the chemtrails, or do they even talk about them? And do you have any information on them at all?
I actually sit on the Toxics and Environment Committee and have not heard a word about chemtrails, or anybody has brought any information forward that I'm aware of. I'm aware of it from my district. I have quite a few people who are concerned about it in my district, but I have not seen anything in Sacramento yet.
Okay. How would somebody send you information on this chemtrail situation?
You can go to my website and get my email. If you just Google Brian Daly, it'll come up, and you can send me information right to my email address.
Okay.
Or you can, it'll have my box number on there too. You can send it if you want to send hard copies, but that would be the best way to do it.
Okay, where would I send those to?
Yeah, they can come to my Sacramento office, or you can even drop them off at my Reading office, at my district office. It's right
okay.
There on Hempstead
do
Drive.
Do they forward that stuff to you? If I drop it off on Hempstead Drive, do they
physically get it to me?
Or forward them to you or something?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, he said he can. Let me interpret here, because he's having a tough time hearing. Yes, if you drop that stuff off at Hempstead Drive, Ron, they will immediately forward it to Brian.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for your call.
Well, I got about 2 minutes left, and I need to get on the road.
Oh, okay. Then the last big thing, then, let's talk wolves.
Okay.
They're talking about bringing wolves back. What do you? What do you think about that?
Well, obviously, you know, I was on the Board of Supervisors when the wolf was actually cruising around by my ranch, OR7. And so I have a meeting with the Fish and Game today, actually. So I will be meeting with the Fish and Game, and we'll be talking about what their plans are with the wolf. But, you know, the wolves that were in California are no longer around, and these wolves that are here now aren't native. And so I want to make sure that we don't lose any habitat for grazing and that type of stuff. So I'll be monitoring that very close.
They've had a, you know, and wolves are very, very prolific, and they are, you know, they're at the top of the food chain they get into, as we've learned in other states that have had that. I would like to think, as if we're going to reintroduce a predator like this, that we have a plan. I would hope that, like you said, you know, there are no California wolves. I think all these are coming or strains of ones coming out of Canada or Mexico.
Right. Actually, I'm just looking at my calendar. I'm meeting tomorrow with the Fish and Game, so
great.
Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Well, you know, water being a big thing, and that we hope that we can come up with something around here so that we're not going to have all the water just, you know, streaming down south, and we still keep something up here.
Well, you know, I'll be fighting for us, Colin. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on and speak, and I'm glad you had Bruce on, and I really appreciate what you guys do for the North State.
Well, you know what? Thanks a lot. You know, I look at it like this, Brian, is that we're in this together. And if we don't,
absolutely,
if we don't fight together here, we are just going to have, we're going to end up tomorrow with low flush toilets that there's no water to flush in. So,
that's right.
You know, anyway, hey, be careful out there on the road, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
You bet. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460.
Even in the cold weather months, we have to keep our bodies hydrated properly every day. It is also important to keep our bodies in an alkali state. The Good Water Store at 2425 Athens Avenue next to the Classic Cafe is your source for alkaline water, the best way to achieve both of these goals. Most of the common foods we eat are acidic, and the best way to balance ourselves is through our water. Please stop by the Good Water Store at 2425 Athens and learn about all the benefits of alkaline water. The Good Water Store is open Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
An insurance adjuster called me. Don, we have a car that was in a front-end collision and repaired. Three times now, a steering bushing has failed. No one can fix the problem. We will have to buy the car if you can't fix it. The bushing in question was made of rubber. It was stretched out of alignment about 1/2 inch, causing it to wear extremely fast. We have three different laser beam systems for collision repair. I selected the one I call our detective laser. The laser beam led me to an area that was 1/2 inch too short, but there was no evidence of damage. I suspected someone had hidden the damage by covering it with thick undercoating. With a pocket knife, I peeled the undercoating away and discovered a deep buckle. As I stretched the vehicle's frame on our Megaliner frame machine, the largest and most powerful machine in Northern California, I could see the bushing relax and the buckle disappear. I knew there would be no further problems. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
At the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange, we've heard the criticism that you can't eat gold, as if eating dollar bills was very nutritious. And we answered that from the start by offering emergency buckets. We offer our standard 200-serving food bucket and the new 72-hour family cooking kits, which in addition to food also contains a stove, fuel for the stove, cups, utensils, and a 100-gallon capacity water filter. You can come into our stores, or you can go to www.thepreparedpatriot.com and with free shipping order them online for yourself or to send to loved ones anywhere in the continental U.S. Peace of mind is protecting your wealth with gold and silver and getting a fair price when you sell. Peace of mind is also having access to emergency food and supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Whether you visit us at our brick-and-mortar stores in Chico, Redding, Corning, and our appointment-only store in Palo Cedro, or whether you visit us at www.thepreparedpatriot.com, you can get peace of mind today for less.
Three.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebach. Good morning. It is 8:34 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. If you're out of area, 530-605-4567. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And the chat room is just filled with people. It's 43 degrees out there. It's going to be a good day there, Bad Bob. We got some rain coming in. Hopefully this,
not enough to really count, enough, Carl. Huh? Yeah. 30% chance after, four this afternoon. It'll be about 63 degrees for a high. Tonight's low 43, less than 1/10 of an inch, coming out of this storm. So nothing like what we had over the weekend. Thank goodness, because it left my house standing. 365-3793 is the number for Shasta Gas Propane, which brought to you this, weather report. Senior and veterans discounts. Our customers are warm friends.
You know what? Frankly, Bob, I think, you know, for the good of all, for the good of many, if you had to sacrifice your house because, I mean, that's the way they believe in the assembly. I mean, for the good of many, they will throw us under the wheels of the train. Anyway, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Discounts for seniors, discounts for veterans, but that's not the reason to go. Great haircuts. Great time there. Man's last stronghold. You go, you know, you it's like walking into Cheers. And I promise you, you will never see Oprah on the TV there. Cypress Square Barbershop. Yay, Bruce Ross is back.
Carl, is that where you get your haircut?
I do.
Because your hair looks, you're looking very sharp.
You should start going there.
I should.
There you go. I mean, it's a Republican place.
All right.
And you're a Republican. Bruce Ross is back with us. His boss, he said, Bruce is there? No, he knew you were here, that you were going to be on. That's kind of, you know, I know you're not speaking for Brian yet. One of the things that came up, somebody had a question. He said, how do I get stuff to you? And Brian said, look, you just take it down Hempstead Drive and drop it off to the staff. Now, is that where you're going to be located?
Yes. Yes. Right. There's a,
and just drop it off to you and you all will make sure he gets it.
Yep. That's one of the important parts of the job is trying to get, make sure constituents get heard.
People are talking about, you moving from the paper and then into this. And comments have been in here is that the paper has taken some pretty strong viewpoints when it comes to, Congressman LaMalfa.
Mm-hmm.
And others. Do you see this as a problem as you move along?
It might be. I hope not, I'm not working for Congressman LaMalfa, obviously. He's generally, like-minded with Brian, and I think he's got, I think he, generally speaking, wants to see the same things move forward in the district, the same kinds of things. And so I hope, I hope it's not a problem, but.
I think that they do. I mean, let's just, the questions that we ask and Brian, we talk about the state of Jefferson. He talked about that in the press release. He'd like to be elected governor of the state of Jefferson. He looks at it as, that we're not the representation problem. Now, he's going on his way to Compton, and somebody asked about that, and I believe he's going to Compton, and what he said was he's meeting with another assembly member down there to discuss some of the projects down in Compton, and he said he was going to do this. He promised he would do this when he was running. He says, I'm going to reach out to those other assembly members who don't even know that the state line isn't on the city limits of Sacramento as you head north. He wants to introduce them to our area up here, and he's done that. He's brought up a number of assembly members up here to show them this is why we're opposing this. This is why we're opposing this bill, because the impact it has on us here, that frankly, when you write it this way, that it makes sense for the beach or a heavily populated area, makes no sense for us up here. And I'm just, this is why that Brian is reaching out, and that's, but as he also points out, the only thing that way it's going to change is if you get a lot more Republicans elected. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. Up here, I think a Republican is pretty safe.
Probably.
For right now. Do you see the population
changing? Safe from a Democrat, certainly.
Well, but a lot of people are starting to move in up here to the North State from San Francisco and other areas, for a variety of reasons, cheaper living up here, but it's a lot less crowded, get more for their money. Do you see the North State changing in your last 17 years from a very conservative area to a
very
less conservative?
No, not particularly.
Haven't really seen a change?
I don't think so. I think, it might be the case that the world has gotten, I mean, on some issues, you might say the liberals have won. Whether people here voted for it or not, or like the idea or not, for instance, same-sex marriage, gay couples can get married now. And that's just, you know, something that the world has sort of changed. So some of the things that you see in California happen in general will happen up here. You can talk about marijuana.
So in that sense,
I mean, yeah, but of course, I mean, we still have controversies up here. I mean, we have to live in California, and that upsets a lot of people sometimes. But I don't think the general political mood or the general kind of people, even people move up and they retire here. I think what I've seen, and I've talked to people, when, you know, people choose where to move, and people know, oh, well, that's kind of a conservative area. I'll be around like-minded people. I've met conservatives from the Bay Area who choose to move here precisely because
they can make friends.
They can talk about guns without people staring at them funny. The sheriff will actually give them a CCW permit, which is fantastic. I'm friends with some of those people. So, you know, people do move here. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, it's not a bad thing.
A liberal Democrat in Shasta County owns 4 guns.
Yeah.
So I told somebody that from back east. We're coming out here for a wedding. Their son was marrying one of our really good friend's daughter, and I said, because we're all talking about shooting, because we all shoot. And he's talking to me, he says, well, I have 2 rifles and a pistol. And I said, oh, you're a liberal Democrat. And he almost came apart when I said that. He says, I'm gonna buy more. I went, oh, okay, you might become a moderate Democrat at that point. All right. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Can you hear me okay?
Hey, I've got a couple of quick questions. One is, Bruce, now that you're working for the people, because you said you work for Brian Dalley, but I believe that he does.
I will be, not yet. He does.
Okay, that means you do too. So the question I have is, when you made the comment about how you believe that Los Angeles should have representation too, which of course we all believe, and when Mark Baird did call in and had a question for you on the federal model of government, that every state has 2 senators, well, that is the way it is, and there's a reason for that. However, it seemed that your take was that, you know, those people in L.A. need that representation too, and it's really fair that more population, one man, one vote, is fairer than having a third of California being represented by one person. And one other thing, in conversations I've had with Brian, he feels quite outnumbered there. And it seems as if that some of your views are diametrically opposed to him. And really and truly, it's not so much what Brian wants you to do as what Brian wants you to do because of his constituents. So therefore, I guess you work for the people now. But your take on the Constitution, maybe I just didn't understand it. I'm a simple guy. I may not have got it. You want to explain that, how the federal model doesn't really work?
I didn't say it doesn't work.
You said was is that it wouldn't work in California.
I didn't say that.
What you said was that we don't have that particular.
The Supreme Court did. Mark Baird mentioned the case, and it eludes me the actual case name, but
Reynolds versus Simmons.
Thank you. That it was out of Tennessee, I think, and it said it basically said you can't have districts that are one senator per county, no matter the population. You have to have equal populations. And that the states must draw their political districts with equal populations. It's true. I think he brought up the contradiction between that and the federal system, that each state has 2 senators. It is a contradiction. It just is. There are lots of people who think the U.S. Senate is antiquated. I'm not one of them, but, it is true that it does not jibe with Reynolds versus Sims, and I think the Supreme Court at the time said, the U.S. Senate is part of the Constitution, so the Constitution plainly cannot be unconstitutional. As far as Los Angeles, the Assemblyman feels outnumbered because he's a conservative and a Republican trying to, you know, make his case to liberals in California, and that's how conservatives feel in California in general. And I think he said that, you know, the answer to that's elect more Republicans. As far as, you know, people in Los Angeles, I'm not feeling, oh, these poor folks in Los Angeles, they don't have enough representation, except that, one person, one vote, that's the rule throughout the nation.
Well, that's not true.
Except in the U.S. Senate.
Well, no, it's not. You see, one person, one vote is not true as far as Wyoming goes with Baker versus Thompson. You might want to look that one up, where they ruled there was no harm, and therefore the state of Wyoming went back to the federal model, which was one senator per county, with the exception of three counties, because their population base between the three of them all added up to about 4,000 people. And since they were contiguous on the border of, those counties agreed that they would take just one senator. So really, that's not necessarily true. There's several other states also. So I guess my question is, which I guess I'm trying to get answered, is that if two senators per state work, why wouldn't one senator per county work in the fact that before 1964 we did have equal representation?
Yeah, it did. It worked. I mean, I think it'd be fine. I would say good luck trying to get the Supreme Court to change its mind about Reynolds versus Sims.
Well, the thing is once we create standing, I mean, obviously you're not privy to the legal situation, but once we create standing, and if they did turn us down, we show harm. There has to be remedy for harm, as you know, in court cases. And yes, there would be constitutional attorney firms, large ones, that are eager to take on Reynolds versus Sims. And as you so aptly stated, there are now 5 to 6 states in play: Maryland, New York, Florida, Colorado, Michigan, Pennsylvania, just to say a few, that are in play as far as having a division in their state because of lack of representation, because of Article 4, Section 4, we're guaranteed that. So I guess I'm just a little confused on how you think you're going to represent the people when you think that constitutionally it needs to be fair with one man, one vote, and regions shouldn't be represented like they are Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution.
Okay.
Just wondering.
Hey, Terry, we've got to take a break. It's 1:45, but you can answer that, Bruce, and then we'll go into a break.
You know, I'm gonna try and work for the constituents and help solve their problems and their, you know, constitutional issues come up. It's a federal constitutional issue. Frankly, at that point, if it involves the federal courts, best of luck to you. It won't involve anything that the state assembly can really affect. So.
Okay, Terry, thanks
a lot. As far as I know.
Thanks a lot for the call. You know, as people know, we have, State of Jefferson Mind. On Saturdays. We have a number of shows here because, frankly, for me, it's representation, like you're saying, and I believe there's a better way of doing it than what we've got right now than in this thing. I just feel like, you know, every time I vote, it makes no difference. No matter how, what I could elect Jesus Christ, Muhammad, you know, the Dalai Lama, and it makes no difference.
Carl wants to vote for Muhammad.
Any of them. I said I could vote for any of them if it would make, but it would make no difference. I'm trying to cover all my bases here. That it would make no difference down there in the assembly because they would have an R by their name. And it would make no difference to anybody. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Thanks a lot, Terry, for the call. We'll be right back after these messages.
With back to school right around the corner, it's about to get busy. Real busy. Who has time for the gym when you're taking the kids here and then there and pretty much anywhere? Well, at Anytime Fitness, you can work out around any schedule. Anytime Fitness is a 24-hour gym. Don't wait till school starts to get back in shape. Sign up today and get your first month free for a limited time. Anytime Fitness is a 24-hour gym. So go to the friendly, clean, and convenient gym on your time. That's Anytime. Anytime Fitness in West Reading next to Holiday Market.
The Clover Fire was devastating for many. Haven Humane Society was there to help. In cooperation with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, we responded to the area and were able to evacuate over 100 animals and help dozens more in the fire area remain safe until their family was able to return. We want to thank this wonderful community. Without their support and donations, we would not have been able to help. Our best wishes go to the fire victims and their families, two and four-legged. With your continued support, we will be ready to once again help our neighbors if the need arises. Please donate to Haven Humane Society. Thank you.
Looking for an unusual quality piece of jewelry? Do you have a wristwatch or timepiece that needs to be repaired and you don't know where to go to? Well, Four Winds Jewelry is the place. They have the only watch repair technician in town. Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Four Winds Jewelry are the experts in gold or loose stones, opals, estate jewelry, or Native American pieces.
Go in and see Leonard and his associates. Four Winds Jewelry, meeting all your jewelry needs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 p.m. 222-2750.
Four Winds Jewelry.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for 3 generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hey parents, it's prom season, and as you know, it can drain your budget. Do what fiscally responsible people do and use the Frugal Dame. You can rent a beautiful dress and tuxedo for just $150. And if Western is your thing, Frugal Dame has Western wear hats and boots. Call 999-3020 to make your appointment. That's 999-3020. Check out thefrugaldame.com and make your appointment today. That's 999-3020. The Frugal Dame.
Hey folks, you know where your swap and sell is? It's right here every Saturday morning with Ernie and Dave at 7 to 8 on KCNR.
Moving sales, estate sales, we just talk about everything. Swap and sell with Ernie and Dave is what you need to get your Saturday off to a great start. Entertainment for the whole family.
Almost.
Swap and sell every Saturday, 7 to 8.
Right here on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot, it is 8:50 in the morning. Hey, tomorrow the sheriff's going to be on. Sheriff Tom Basinko, we're going to be able to have a chance to talk about getting from the horse's mouth. What's been happening out there? I mean, we've been hearing from Bob every day because his house is still there. We're going to hear from the sheriff what's going on out there and get the latest from him there. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225. Hilltop Drive. I can't say enough about Four Winds Jewelry. It is a place that you can, buy the finest in estate jewelry and other, pieces, whether it's necklaces or loose stones or bracelets, all of Four Winds Jewelry. And Leonard will give you just a great deal and give you a fair deal on what you're looking at and what you're buying there. Also, they have the only trained watch repairman in the whole area up here. So if you try to get your watch repaired someplace else, it'll eventually end up at Four Winds. Cut out the middleman. Go straight to Leonard at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Our guests today have been, and it's kind of interesting, you know, we started out with Bruce Ross and we went to Brian Daly, the Assemblyman Brian Daly, who is now leaving the Record Searchlight in 4 days. Is that right?
At the end of the week. This is my last week.
At the end of the week. This is the last week. And you're going to go work for Brian Daly.
I got a week off in the middle.
Yep. And then and you've got that whole week to change your thoughts. I'm just kidding.
I was going to try and I tried to escape, but Mike Quinn corralled me and we were talking about fish.
And then Brian was on his way south, had to get back on the road, which is fine when you were standing out there. So we brought you back in again. What do you see? I mean, when you're here, what does a district director do? I mean, I know you carry out policy of the assemblyman, but there's much more to it than that, isn't it?
You know, it's a mix of things, but I think the most important part of the job is just working with constituents. Lots of people have it's a big state. There's lots of complicated state agencies and rules that people don't always – I mean, I don't always understand them. They're hard. And so trying to be an advocate for people with problems, when people have something where you see maybe it'd be possible to, maybe to change the law, then try and bring that problem to the Sacramento office, to Daly's office, and say, hey, maybe this is a place where we could fix something. That to me is the interesting part where I hope to just be able to – I mean, I'm also going to be doing some work for one of the things that I think they're looking for is just trying to maybe communicate some of their ideas a little bit better, not with the public so much, although partly that, as well as with, hey, here's why this is a good idea. Hey, look, the forests are overgrown and fire prone, and this isn't just us saying this. This is what forest scientists say, but we need to be able to put that into a form that you can translate to other lawmakers. And so
having somebody that can write concisely, coherently, and be able to put down thoughts in an easy to read.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. We need that because they see so much writing every day. The problem is when they don't read it and they still pass that law. But do you think there's going to be a lot of, frustration in this job for you?
Any job that's interesting enough to do will probably have frustrations, but that's the nature of challenges.
And people are going to, you're going to be the face out here. I mean, Brian gets out here a lot, but you're going to be the face for Brian Daly. Does that mean appearing in front? I don't know. Do you go to a lot of public events? In fact, when Brian can't be there, you will be there.
Yeah, there'll probably some of that.
And you'll come into all those, Gun Owners of California, all those. Of course, Brian will probably be there for that, but other ones. Mm-hmm. So you're always there. Ed Asner's coming to town. Are you going to plan on attending that one for Brian?
When
he talks in front of the ACLU?
I don't know what he's talking about.
He's probably going to talk about the problems they've been having with Obamacare and the Obama administration. I'm sure Ed Asner.
I have no idea what he's going to talk about. I mean, I'll get to see anything. You know, that'd be interesting.
Okay. Well, you know what? We really appreciate you coming in today and being here. The fact is that 17 years in a job, it's tough to, is it tough to take that step?
It is. I need to clean out my desk and it's been very difficult. I took like three things home yesterday. You know, the Searchlight's been a great place to work. It's been a fascinating, I've gotten to know, you know, hundreds, thousands of people that I wouldn't have otherwise. And, it's really been a wonderful place to work. And I realized now that I've spent pretty much my adult life working there, and I'm going to be, it shapes how you see the world. But anyway, it's been a fantastic, you know, it's really been a fantastic privilege. I mean, my favorite thing, I mean, you know, people, it's an important part of my job to, you know, I mean, I write the editorials and then opine and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, honestly, my favorite parts of the job has always been the letters to the editor. And I ended up having all kinds of relationships with sometimes complete strangers. There's lots of people who I've never actually met, but I know a lot about how they think because I read their letters and sometimes we'll trade emails or, you know, I mean, if there's something that needs to, you know, a change or something. People have, I've discovered when Silas very graciously and with a lot of sugar on top announced my leaving, I heard from a lot of people very, very kind words that the relationship was, went both ways. And that meant a lot to me. And, you know, what I really liked, my favorite thing was one guy in the comments on that column who I know to be, because I know his letters to the editor, he's often, he's got some beefs with the government and the way things run. And, you know, he can come across as a bit cranky sometimes, but he said that Bruce had always been fair and professional and a good guy. And that he was a very conservative guy. And there was a liberal who said the same thing. And that's what I've always wanted to do, is just be able to help other people who don't necessarily have a voice amplify it. I mean, it's kind of what you do here on the radio. But I think, you know, I think you must understand then that it's a real, it's a real privilege to be able to do that.
It is a privilege. And one of the highest compliments we ever got was from a very progressive type mm-hmm. in town. When somebody else asked, well, should I go on their show? And the answer was, they're conservative, but they're very fair.
Yeah.
And that to me is the high, you know, that's to me is an accolade that we can be fair to people and we want to give people, you know, a voice in town, whether they are the ACLU, they want to grow marijuana, or they're the Northern California State Militia, or, you know, anything like that. Because for a long time, it was just you all. And, I mean, well, the Record Searchlight. Mm-hmm. And now we like, you know, we like to believe that we've also opened up another avenue.
More the merrier.
For the community. That's right, because we need to get it out. And we give people a voice here on the station, which we like doing, which is why we started this. Mm-hmm. I keep putting it down, that is, that when people ask what your political party is, and I've written it down for them, but can you tell everybody what your...
I have been a registered Republican for a long time, most of my adult life.
There you go. So, I mean, I've written that in there, but now you've just heard it there. Okay. Well, Bruce, thanks a lot. We appreciate you being here.
I've monopolized most of the hour.
Well, but you know what? That's okay because, you know, it's, you're taking on an important job as a district director of an individual who is our representative. And before, where you would opine on things that maybe people didn't agree with. I mean, obviously, you know, you've said things that have upset people. And now you've moved into the political arena. Which reminds me, are you thinking about at some point politics entering the fray?
Like running for office?
Like running for office.
No, not particularly. No. Happy to work for somebody else and let them do the heavy lifting.
Get the slings and arrows.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bruce Ross has been our guest today. Tomorrow we've got the sheriff's coming in. And we've also got the guys from the Reading Breakfast Lions Club to talk about the gun show that's going to be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. And by the way, we're going to be giving away tickets for the rest of the week for that gun show. Starting tomorrow, we're going to be giving away, I think like 6 tickets for the gun show. So make sure you're listening and we'll be calling in. This week also we've got, But you keep, you know, we have 2 minutes now, Bob says. He told me one before. The rest of the week here, we'll be having, again, a variety of guests coming in and talking about what's happening in our state, what's happening in our city, and in local politics, also with, what's happening in the educational side of it, what's happening with the medical side, and, you know, a spokesman from Simpson University.
I have a last minute question for Bruce. What's happened to old school journalism, the kind that I learned from Eldridge Trott out at Shasta College, about going out and really building a story and not hammering something out in as quickly as possible and just jumping on to the next thing? What's happened to old style journalism?
Well, I will say that the reporters of the Record Searchlight and probably everywhere else are very busy these days. And, you know, we update on the website 24/7 and keep really, really busy. So, unfortunately, some of the longer term projects, there's just not the people and the time and the resources.
You don't have the investigative journalism.
Yeah, I know.
I
will say, I know that it's not something I'm going to be a part of. But I know that Silas Lyons, my boss, is very keen to get back some of that in the coming year in the Record Searchlight.
Well, that's a relief because I see McNews these days.
Well, that's true. And there's so many things around here that could have been, you know, more light spread on it.
There are a million stories. You know, and that's one of the things that people talk about the subscription model. One of the things that the Searchlight feels they need to do is be able to pay for those people.
Okay.
Gotta hire the people to do it.
Gotta hire the people to do it. And not in India. We'll be, thanks a lot, Bruce, and good luck in your new job.
Thank you.
Hey, remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Thank you, everybody, for, first of all, for being on the chat room and calling in today. We'll be back tomorrow.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Some of the state-run healthcare exchanges set up under Obamacare are ailing, and some congressional lawmakers want to find out why.
Republican members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee have asked for a government accountability investigation into the failures of state-run healthcare exchanges in Maryland, Massachusetts, and Oregon. Despite receiving more than $300 million in federal grants to launch its program, Oregon has yet to enroll a single person online. Maryland's considered abandoning its state-run exchanges and signing on to the federally run healthcare.gov instead. And the Boston Globe reports the director of the Massachusetts program was reduced to tears during a board meeting investigating the problems.
SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Bypassing Congress, President Obama is ordering tighter fuel efficiency standards for medium and heavy-duty trucks, saying improved fuel economy not only saves people money.